Hi, everyone. Welcome once again to our herbal education snippet. Really, 10 minutes of education followed by your wonderful questions. How does it get any better? So we've reached the R's in our alphabetics of health, and I'll give you a few more titles of the upcoming talks at the end of today's talk. I'm Sherry Jakes, and along with Morgan Jenkins, Joan Kasich, and Jerry Tribble, we have an amazing amount of information stored in our certified natural health professional brains. We'd like to remind you that medical conditions require a medical professional, but your own brains and your willingness to take responsibility for your health are the center of our attention with these classes. So feel free to ask questions at the end, or if you know a topic that's coming up, email us ahead of time. And you can find the entire amount of the alphabetics so far on our website, www.dimensionsofhealth.net. And soon they'll be available on Joan's website as well. So the term rheumatism is still used in colloquial speech and historical contexts, but it's no longer frequently used in medical or technical literature. There's no longer any recognized disorder simply called rheumatism. So some countries use the word rheumatism to describe fibromyalgia syndrome, which most of you are familiar with. But the traditional term covers such a different range of problems that to ascribe symptoms to rheumatism doesn't say very much. Nevertheless, sources dealing with rheumatism tend to focus on arthritis. Having said that, there is non-articular rheumatism, meaning it doesn't apply to the joints. So if you're having pain in the soft tissue as well, then that's more like rheumatism. And it's also known as regional pain syndrome or soft tissue rheumatism. And these can cause significant discomfort and difficulty. So today, arthritis and rheumatism between them cover at least 200 different conditions. You know, we've become so medically oriented that rheumatism itself, which covered a lot in the past, is now there again, used in the past. So there are some of the major rheumatic disorders that are currently recognized. The only reason I mention them here is because you might recognize a diagnosis that you are familiar with, either for yourself or for a loved one. They include, and I'll say them slowly, ankylosing spondylitis, that's one, back pain, bursitis and tendonitis, and those include shoulder pain, wrist, biceps, leg, the kneecap, ankle, hip, and the Achilles tendon. So those are all included there. Another one is capsulitis. There's neck pain, osteoarthritis, psoriatic arthritis, and that's really what you get from psoriasis, rheumatic fever, rheumatic heart disease, which is actually a long-term complication of rheumatic fever, rheumatoid arthritis, systemic lupus erythematosus, temporal arteritis, polymyalgia rheumatica, I know these don't make any sense to me, tenosynovitis, which is pain in the tendon, and myositis, which is pain and inflammation in the muscle. And remember, all those itises mean inflammation. Although these disorders probably have little in common in terms of their epidemiology, see, there we go with that medical stuff, they do share two characteristics. They cause chronic intermittent pain, and they're difficult to treat. And they're also collectively very common. There's long been said to be a link between rheumatic pain and the weather. There appears to be no firm evidence in favor or against this hypothesis. But in 1995, a questionnaire was given to over 500 people at the Brigham and Women's Hospital Pain Management Center, and it concludes that, and I quote, "Changes in barometric pressure are the main link between weather and pain. Low pressure is generally associated with cold, wet weather and an increase in pain. Clear, dry conditions signal high pressure and a decrease in pain." So that's really interesting to know. Most joint pain and tissue inflammation sufferers are using non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, excuse me, also known as NSAIDs, and that includes things like ibuprofen and Advil. Initially, these drugs may knock out the pain and seem like a solution, but they are not removing the cause. And because they're toxins themselves, eventually they will contribute to further breakdown of the body. Other rheumatism sufferers opt to use corticosteroids or undergo surgical repair or replacement of joints. Now remember, killing the pain does not get rid of the causes of this inflammation. In natural therapy, we are seeking to eliminate that root cause. Some of the things, the herbs that we use from Nature Sunshine, one of my favorites is joint support, and it used to be known as JNTA and ARTA, if you've been with Nature Sunshine long enough to know all those. But they provide, this particular formula provides a host of nutrients beneficial to the structural and connective tissue system. The individual ingredients are traditionally used for the following. They maintain joint tissues, support the body during physical stress to joints, like if you're running a marathon. I know we all do that. Helping the body clear uric acid, like in gout. And gout is not, by the way, doesn't simply show up in the big toe. It can be all through the body because it's that uric acid buildup. The herbs also promote normal muscle health. They support a balanced nervous system. All of us can use that. They also promote protein digestion. They nourish the nervous system and more. Remember, this is all in the joint support. And that reduces pain, stiffness, and the congestion of inflamed connective tissues. It's rich in calcium and is a solvent for calcium deposits. It's high in other nutrients required by the structural and nervous system, including vitamin A, iron, selenium, and silicon. So this has been an important formula for a long time, and I want to tell you what's in it. It's also a cleansing digestive aid, and it comes in capsule or liquid form. So here are the herbs that are in this formula. Alfalfa, horsetail, bromelain, which helps with that protein digestion, catnip, celery seed, high in sodium, black cohosh root, yarrow, capsicum, which, of course, stimulates circulation and relief of pain, slippery elm bark, valerian root, hydrangea root, yucca root, white willow bark, burdock, and sarsaparilla. What a formula! So rheumatism is also benefited by a high-sodium diet. Do I mean table salt? Of course not. I mean organic sodium found in foods such as apple, celery seed tea, goat's milk. And as with joint pain and inflammation, try this. Apple cider vinegar mixed with honey. That's 1 teaspoon apple cider vinegar, 1 teaspoon honey, or as we spoke of last night, you can use agave, in 2 ounces of warm water twice a day. I've heard that really, really helps. Other remedies include whole leaf aloe vera, 9 to 10 ounces a day, according to Joan Vandegrift in the Treasure Chest. That sounds like a lot, but the whole leaf causes less bowel cleansing. Herbal calcium, ATC, that's the concentrated form, and Taifu oil or massage lotion on the sore areas, and then you can add heat, and then yucca. I want to talk 1 minute about the gift from the desert. It is used to clean the body and reduce inflammation. And it contains a foamy, soapy sap, which Stephen Horn tells us is a saponin. It's most often included in formulas designed to break up obstructions, which include the chronic degenerative diseases, arthritis, and rheumatism. It contains saponins, there they are again, that are precursors to cortisone, which is an anti-inflammatory naturally produced by our adrenal glands. We have such a cool body. So this may be another way that yucca is helpful for arthritis. Yucca's foaming agent is, or was, used in root beer and other foamy drinks. It's the root can also be used as laundry soap and as a dandruff shampoo. So there again, you guys, if we're stuck out in the desert, we know where to get our soap. By cleaning the colon and regulating colonic bacteria, yucca helps to reduce the burden on the other eliminative systems of the body, which are the kidney, the liver, the lymph, and the blood. So there you have it. Wonderful words of wisdom from the many millions of herbalists who have gone before us. This is such a fabulous way to take care of yourself and your loved ones. So to those of you who've taken the challenge, our hats are off to you. So for more information regarding the similar topics, go listen to inflammation and the joint support talks on our website. Again, www.dimensionsofhealth.net. Coming up next week are the following. Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. with Joan Kasich is Scintillating Skin, How to Have Beautiful Skin. Thursday at noon is Taming Your Thyroid with Jerry Tribble. Tuesday, the following week at 6:30, are Unbearable Ulcers with Morgan Jenkins. And Thursday, July 1st at noon, I'm going to talk about varicose veins. If any of these interest you, be sure to tune in. So I am going to, let me see, take you off of mute, and then if anyone has a question, please feel free to ask the question. Are you there?
I'm here.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't have any questions right now.
Okay.
Yeah, that was fabulous.
Yeah, it was good. Great, great. Great information. I'm going to send it up towards my mother.
Yeah, you know, I mean, does she get on the computer?
She doesn't have a computer. That's a problem. So I'll just have to, I'd like to take a look at that herb and maybe get her to get some, try it.
Oh, the joint support?
Yes.
I hope they can get it in Toronto.
I don't know. You guys can't get corn silk there, huh? In California?
I don't know. I haven't tried to order it for a while. I think I have a bottle on the...
Oh, I tried to order it for Karen and I couldn't.
I'm going to turn the recording off.